better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer for those anytime easy drinking occasions.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team that's on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
So the Spun puts out a bracket every single year of the 64 most annoying people in sports media. Now, they seed them and everything, and a couple examples from last year, like Stephen A. Smith is a one seed, Skip Bayless is a one seed, Jim Rome's a one seed. I mean, those are just some of the names. And so I took this idea. I can't take credit for it. I took this idea, and I spun it and made it local, where I put out 64 Arkansas, more Arkansas Razorback covering sports media members, and I made a bracket last year in 2019. It was a huge success. A lot of you really enjoyed it, and it was a lot of fun. And so this is now the 2020 edition. If you go to hitthatline.com, it's on our front page. Again, it's just the most annoying Arkansas sports media members bracket 2020 edition. I know we have March Madness coming up where you'll have a lot of basketball brackets, and this is just my favorite time of the year. Unfortunately, last year, the website told me I made it on.
Yeah.
It's dead.
Yeah, I saw this this post you put up, and wherever you put your bracket, because I couldn't even remember who won it, and then you put in your article that Wally Hall ended up being the most annoying.
I think Ruskin, Bo or Bart, one of the two, were in the Final Four, and there's one other guy.
Yeah.
It's mostly guys. Girls don't find their way on this list. Is more annoying, but it's mostly guys. And here's the other thing, Tommy. I also mentioned that I've grown up listening, reading, and watching many of the people on this list.
Yeah.
And I like a lot of them, and I know a decent amount of them. And then in the article I wrote, I said, except Phil Elson, screw that dude. And, and people were like freaking out on message boards because a lot of them, like, and this is from in our listening area, our listening audience, you know that I have a great relationship with Phil. Phil and I are really good friends, and we really like each other, but we play off kind of messing with each other. But there are people legitimately freaking out on message boards. Like, what did Phil Elson ever do? Why does Ty hate this kid? And just, like, getting angry and frustrated, and they don't understand the sarcasm of that, that it's a complete joke. But I guess we just got to go in and get in these matchups, Tommy. You're facing off. I think this was said how it was last year. You're facing off against Tommy Smith.
And bad draw.
Well, no.
Bad draw. Committee did a horrible job here. Bad draw.
You're winning right now.
I still a bad draw.
Okay. We also need to figure out, is it winning?
Tommy got screwed on this deal.
Which Tommy are we talking about?
I'll leave that up to you.
So I don't know if it should count as you're winning or losing if you're down to the percentage points. Because as of this point, as of 6:33 on Monday morning, Tommy Smith, according to our listeners and the people that get on hitthatline.com and all the people that have voted, 59% of you think that Tommy Smith is more annoying than Tommy Kraft.
So I'm losing. I mean, this is you want to win, right?
You want to be the most. Are you going to pull Ruskin and try and want to win this?
Oh, I could get in here. Listen, if I wanted to win this thing, I could just come on and talk about officiating and how they got everything right for the. I mean, that would win me this bracket.
You're trying to up your ante a little
bit? I could up my ante by just talking about, man, they got all those calls right again this weekend. You know, the officials, you know, that would just annoy people. And that would probably give me a few more votes, right?
Yeah. So I'm going to go over some of these matchups. We'll get into like the closest race, and we're going to continue again to update you. What's going to happen is the first and second round, the voting is going to go through this Sunday, and then we'll flip it over to the Sweet 16 Elite Eight, and then the Final Four National Championship. But get over a couple of these matchups close to home. So I just mentioned that Tommy Smith is technically beating Tommy Kraft, and Tommy Smith, you think that he is more annoying. Who did I match up against? Kevin, I think I was with Kevin
Taylor of the Times Record.
Yes, of the Times Record. And according to our listeners and our readers, 61% of you think I'm more annoying than Kevin.
Kevin's not annoying at all.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so you clearly stacked the deck in your favor when putting these matchups.
Here's the other thing we need to mention. The seedings were random.
Yeah, right.
Very random.
Right. So, yeah, sure. Yeah, uh-huh.
I mean, I'm not kidding. The seedings were random.
Sure.
It random. I said, who'd you go? Jenkins, you're clobbering Tara Talmadge right now. You have 66% to her 34%.
Oh, great.
So people think you're a lot more annoying than Tara Talmadge. Arns
she's cute, sweet, nice. Only see on TV in short. I mean, again,
he's stacking the odd against me.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're screwed in that category. Let's see. Arns is kicking Kyle Deckelbaum from KTV's butt. He's at 61%. Where's Ruskin at? Ruskin's probably got a pretty high. I'm trying to find him real quick. Ruskin, like his goal last year after I came out. Oh, wow. Ruskin and Hutch, this might be the biggest differential. Ruskin is at 78% compared to again, Hutch is 22.
Hutch isn't annoying at all. He just gives good stats and good info.
Yeah.
Who is annoyed by Andrew Hutchinson?
I don't think he's done enough. The two biggest differentials, though, are Kevin McPherson, our buddy, AR Hoop Scoop, who's at 80% compared to Phil's 20. Phil's goal was to be more annoying for this bracket this year. He's failed because he's going to get knocked down in the first round. And the biggest of all the differentials of all the matchups going up here, Wallace Hall, 92% compared to Kelly Stacey, who writes for The Athletic. So Wallace is doing his absolute best to repeat as champion.
That's a 16 versus 1. No offense to Kelly Stacey, but that's a 16-1.
And she hasn't been here as long as, obviously, he has. There's a lot more people that know Wally.
Well, I mean, Dirt hadn't been here as long as Wally's been here, yeah. So let's be honest.
Arns was texting me yesterday. He was frustrated the fact that Wallace and Ruskin are on the same side of the bracket, so they can't meet in the championship.
Yeah, I think that's poor planning by the committee, too. Where's Clay? Because Clay will be here in about a half hour. Where's Clay on this bracket?
Who's Clay matched up against? There's 64 names. I'm trying to here. Let me just type it in real quick. So Clay is matched up against Marcus Elliott, and Marcus is winning that one 62% to 38%. So that's a pretty big differential for Clay. I don't know if Clay. I think because of this, and I think Clay's probably listening right now. He's going to do his best in the next 2 hours to up his ante and get his percentage up.
Yeah, I don't know if Clay revels in the fact of being annoying. There are some on this list, some of the names you went over that I know would pride themselves. This would be a great career accomplishment to win this bracket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ruskin is definitely up there, and I think he really wanted it last year. We'll see if he can beat out Wallace Hall, the defending champion from last year. But again, if you want to go vote on it, go to hitthatline.com. It's the front page. It's hitthatline.com/Arkansas. I'm not going to spell it out for you, but just go to hitthatline.com. You can vote on there, click the link, and go from there. You got to make an account. It makes like 2 seconds. It's on challenge.com, but just go to hitthatline.com.
What was that?
challonge.com.
Challenge.
Yeah, challonge.com.
Must have been a free one.
Yeah. So, no, it was, because I mean, Bracket 5 went away last year, so I had to scramble and get another one. Let's look at some tight races. Claire Goodwin is currently leading Mitch Roberts, 52-48. That one's pretty tight. There's a few neck-and-neck ones on here. There's some other big ones. Irwin's got Mr. Trey Biddy beat pretty good. He's at 65% compared to Trey's 31. Pat Jenkins, Drew Amon going at it pretty good. Pat's at 51. Drew's at 49, so that one's pretty close. Bo's beating the crap out of Chip Souza. He's at 70% compared to Chip's 30. Bart's beating Freaky Joe pretty good. He's at 78 compared to Joe's 22. So, again, this is going to be ongoing. We're going to vote on it coming up through the week. So, Sunday, the first and second round, you need to get your votes in by Sunday. And then the following week, we'll have the Sweet 16 Elite 8 voting, and then the national championship and the Final Four national championship. Tommy, where do you think you end up? Are you going to...
Oh, I'll probably get beat out first round here. You put me up against one of the Hall of Famers in the state here. And again...
That's just how much he thinks of you, though, too.
Right. I mean, this was like... You know, I guess this is another 16 versus 1. Tells me where I stand. I'm the 16 seed in this deal.
Again, I cannot stress enough, because everyone got mad at me last year because the seedings were listed, and I told people last year the seedings are not, they're randomized. They're completely randomized. So that's that's a good one.
Rex, you drew an easy matchup. I drew a hard matchup. It's totally random, folks.
Rex from Hector totally says random. A good matchup would be me and Wally going ahead. I think Wally would probably run that
Wally
just because his, not because necessarily the annoyance factor, but because of his notoriety around the state.
People know who he is?
Yeah, people don't know who I am, but people know who he is. So that's if you don't know who someone is, you typically don't know if they're annoying or not. Now you can take.
People say Ty and they think the guy in Caddyshack?
Yeah,
Ty Webb?
Yeah, Ty Webb.
You got to tie me with one of your ties. So what's like interesting about
how do you measure yourself against other by height?
My height. That's such a good movie. Is that a better? We were talking about this last week with Clay and it was Scott Tabor. Is that a better? Does that edge out Tin Cup or do you have Tin Cup above Caddyshack?
No, Caddyshack's my all time favorite. Okay. Caddyshack and Major League.
Yeah, my two movies go.
And at one time, that was the gold standard here at the Morning Rush. If you did not know those movies backwards and forwards, and it wasn't part of your vernacular, you pretty much couldn't work here. We've unfortunately and sadly relaxed that policy.
I mean, you can test me on it real quick. Major League and Caddyshack.
Yeah, pretty good ones. I think we'll move on from that. But those are two pretty good ones.
Okay. You don't want to test me on those?
Well, I don't know that we want to do that at this moment. I don't want to derail your bracket segment here.
Okay. All right. We'll just.
It's easy to grin. fail. There's an epic fail.
Am I fired? Which one is that? Major League or Caddyshack?
That was Caddyshack.
Caddyshack. Judge Smells. It's easy to grin when your ship comes in.
Yeah.
And you got the stock market beat.
I guess I need to watch that again.
But a man worthwhile. All together now. Jenkins, a man who can smile.
You go ahead.
The shorts are too tight in the seat.
I'm going
to. You wanted
this.
To be tested.
Yeah, I know. I failed.
That was an easy one.
I failed miserably. Yeah. Last year,
just trying to save you the embarrassment.
Round of 32 was funny because I matched up, and seedings are random, but Alyssa and Saw got matched up against each other, which was really funny. I think Alyssa won that matchup, which I don't know if that made some interesting conversations in the Rattler household, but I remember that, and Alyssa and Saw were. Tweeting at me or texting me or whatever. It's like, how'd you match this up in the second round? So, Andrew Dice Hodges is at 60% compared to Nick Walters, who does sports TV for KRK down there in Little Rock. So that's our other guy on this list. I'm trying to see if there's anyone else that's pretty notable.
Matty T.
Where's Matty T at? Matty T is edging out Henry Apple right now. He's at 58% compared to Apple's 42. So that's a pretty good one. Where's some others? Bob Holtz beating out Jason Carroll. He's at 67% compared to Jason's 33. Tommy, last year I didn't have any media members angry about this. I'm wondering if since this is going to pick up steam anymore, if I'm going to get a text or two about this.
Oh, let's hope. Yeah.
So most media members text me like, this is great. Like, this is they're funny. They really
enjoy
it.
You find out, and they don't text me. They text you guys because most of them don't have my number, which is great. But we find out who has a sense of humor and who doesn't.
Yeah, who's thin-skinned, who's thick-skinned.
Exactly.
So, and again, the whole point of this list is to just have fun and joke around and like goof. I mean, the best sports radio, sports TV, sports writers are self-deprecating. They know when to make fun of themselves. They know when to goof off.
And if you don't understand, I mean, if nothing else, you're getting a little free publicity out of the deal.
Exactly. You know? Brad from Mountain Home texted in, how is Ruskin even in this conversation? I tried to listen to the show and heard very little about sports. So, well, him and Arms.
But there's a lot of other entertaining stuff there.
Yeah, no, I really enjoy listening to their conversations about goats and other stuff they get into on their program daily. So, your old buddy JB's at 67% right now, beating out, not Five News. Where's she? 40-29, Jordan Black.
All right.
So he's got you there. Scotty Bordelon is losing to Hayden Balgavy. Hayden, who we had on last week at THV, he's 58-42%. So that's those are some other ones. Where's Neighbors? Where's John at? Who's John?
Get a couple questions on that.
You got that. And where's Otis Kirk? That's GT from Fort Smith. Okay. That one.
Where's John? John's beating out Harry Keene. John's got 56% to Harry's 44. Love Harry. On that. Otis, let's see where Otis
ought to be winning. I don't know who he's going up against just because of his annoying Laker takes.
Yeah, those get old. Those get old. He's beating out Nate Allen 65% to 35%. I thought that would be a little closer to be honest. So a
couple old guys going at it.
I know. So Nate's getting his keister kick. And again, I don't know who's like what are you trying to win? Are you trying to it depends on the person,
right?
You
want to win.
I'm trying to win.
Do you though?
What's in it if we win? Because I'm new here. So what?
I don't know. Did you mail Wallace Hall something last year, Tommy?
There's no prize.
Oh,
there's just glory and admiration.
NCA Hog from Yellville says he loves the bracket. Again, I've really enjoyed making it from when it started. Who's another?
Mailed him some hill lifts.
Some what?
Some heel lifts.
Our guy, Richard Davenport, he's beating out Danny West right now, 57% to 43%. Where's Tom Murphy at? What is he doing? He is at, he's facing off against Fitz Hill. He's getting clobbered. Fitz Hill's beating Tom 76% to 24%. That's something we'll have to talk about with Tom Murphy tomorrow. And again, we're going to have RD on Thursday, Tom on Tuesday and Thursday as well. We'll have, I'm trying to think of, Clay's coming up, so we'll get his take on that. But I'm curious to see the reaction, if they're going to take, Tommy, if they're going to take your approach, or if they're going to go about their own way where they're like, I don't want to win this. I want to stay away from this.
Someone texted in, wanted you to describe what Unga Galunga meant. What does Unga Galunga mean? You said you knew Caddyshack backwards and forwards.
No, that is, all right. Don't put words in my mouth. I asked you to test me. That,
hang on. We need to bring the tape back in here.
I did not say backwards and forwards. Let's not put works in my mouth.
Well, you do you want to test me? Okay.
I see. Unga
Galunga.
I don't.
What does it mean?
I don't know what that was.
I've given you two of the more famous scenes in the entire movie.
I need to watch that again.
It's what the Dalai Lama said when he teed off. Big hitter, Dalai Lama.
Okay.
Big hitter of the Llama.
Rex from Hector texts in, says if Eddie was a media member, he would stomp Wally in this bracket.
Maybe we should have put Eddie in this bracket.
You think so?
He calls enough. Yeah.
Yeah. Randy, Brandon from Paris wants to know where Rick Schaefer and Randy at. Randy is edging out Nikki Chavanel right now, 63% to 37% as far as Rick Schaefer's at. Rick Schaefer is edging out Bobby Swofford. He's at 59% compared to Bobby's 41%. I am
amazed how many texts we are getting. The feedback from the audience on this, when we just went through a weekend, maybe this is a great diversion from the weekend we had. Maybe this is actually great planning on your part. To not talk sports.
No, I intentionally
did
this.
Maybe this is actually genius on your part.
So my dad texted me early yesterday morning. He wanted to get out in front. He basically said in so many words, Ty, Joseph, I think Baylor's going to lose tonight. Just want to say that good luck, blah, blah, blah. They end up winning 3-2. And so when he sent me that text, I was like, I had a bad feeling about tonight. Mm-hmm. My dad's trying to get out in front of this at 11 a.m. in the morning before the game at 7 o'clock tonight. Because he didn't want us to send him trash talk later that night. So I was like, I had a bad feeling. And then 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock rolls around. It's like, you know what I'm going to do? I was planning on making this tomorrow, but I'm just going to do it today so we can kind of divert from the conversation. Because, I mean, we could talk about how Arkansas basketball, basically the NCAA hopes are done. We can talk about the baseball team had lost 3 games this weekend. Or we can talk about how annoying Ty Richardson, Tommy Kraft, Matt Jenkins, and other are. And it's even fun. It's a lot more fun. NCA Hawk from Yellville says, you're right, Tommy. I literally can't even think about how bad this weekend was for baseball and, of course, basketball. Again, we're trying on the Morning Rush to divert your pain into something that you can get by, which is ranking the most annoying Arkansas sports media members in the state, which, again, we're doing on hitthatline.com. So, seating-wise, Tommy, because I'm a man of principle, because I'm a man who has a moral code, I did not seed them based on my opinion, because I think that would be hurting someone, right? So
you're afraid of hurting someone's feelings,
to a certain extent, yeah. Is that fair?
I think to a great extent,
great extent, like if I seated people,
because you're afraid to go to the next basketball, baseball, or a football game this fall and have to look these people in the eye.
I mean, I'll look them in the eye regardless,
and have to explain to Mike Irwin why he was a 2 seed.
But isn't that like,
you really think I'm that old, mean, and crotchety, and then you're gonna like. You're going to piss down one leg at that point.
I'm not going to piss down a leg, but I'm going to
maybe both legs.
Maybe both legs. But is that fair? Is that fair, my assumption, to not actually, like, hey, if I rank them, that might be going a little too far?
I think you're hiding behind the random factor. You know, you hit the button to randomly see. I think you're hiding behind the veil of randomness.
So for next year, in 2021, should the rankings be determined based on what happens in the 2020 edition? You think I do that? You think I step it up a notch?
You think all these people have jobs this time next year?
I hope so. Who knows? I hope so. I hope I still have a job by this time next
year. Two of us.
So, I mean, that's one of those things where in 2021, and what is it today? March 2nd, 2021, for a year from now, I hope that I still have a job coming out next year.
Yeah. So, don't we all?
Yeah. Don't we all? Other ones, Tyler Cass, Five News reporters, currently leading Steve Sullivan down there at KATV in Little Rock. He's up 50. 7 to 33. Roger Scott down there in Little Rock is beating out Buck Ringhold. 60,
the writer.
Yeah, 64% for the Times record to 36%. I'm trying to think if there's another. Pete's probably going to be ticked off at me for saying I put him as intern Pete instead of Pete Rulier. He's probably not going to be happy about that. And it's all, again,
more
all
people know him as intern Pete.
Yeah. So that's why I put it on there. He's leading Dorian Kraft right now 57% to 43%. So that's another guy that we can keep an eye on. And I love messing with these. And Pete's my age, so I can give him all the flap and all the stuff. RJ Hawk is leading Jim Harris 55% to 45%. You can hear RJ here on Tuesday nights on the Hog Hustle. That's where he plays on, I think, the Hot Spring Station at ESPN 96.3. So you can keep in that. Let's see. Where's another one? I'm pretty much gone over most of the ones
I think you have.
We've gone over. All right, let's go to the phone lines. 877-377-6963.
Hello?
Jeez Louise.
Good Lord.
Danny is in Russellville. Danny wants to shift up the conversation actually to sports.
Please.
Danny, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Well, I guess we got brought down to earth this weekend, right?
Yeah, with some velocity.
Wow. I mean, the Razorbacks, the baseball team, kicking the ball all over the place. And, well, I think it was a good thing to set Casey Martin down. He's really struggling. I mean, I believe I would set him down two or three games in a row and just let him decompress because he's just really trying too hard. We got to have him, and he's just making way too many errors and striking out too much. He's picking right up where he left off last year, and I think it's a good thing that he's setting him down. I'm not worried about the team. We're gonna be okay. I think I wanted to win every game there, but this at least it gives Dave Van Horn a voice to say, "Hey guys, we're not as good as we thought we were," and he gives them something to work on. But I think at the end of the year we're going to be just fine. We'll be a threat to make it to Omaha. The basketball team. Just one question. Do you think we still have any chance to make the tournament, and are you satisfied with the NIT? And I'll get off here, guys, and have a good day. Thank you.
Hey, your chance to make the tournament is win the tournament in Nashville. That's it.
I think a lot of – all right, so Providence got a big win this weekend over Villanova. Texas got a big win this weekend. I mean, the bubble is pretty much burst. It's all but burst. So I think Tommy – maybe if you win two and got all the way to the championship, but I think the best case scenario and the only scenario is if you win the championship.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade, a premium light lager brewed with real lemonade.
He does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown!
Play with this basketball team. You get LSU on Wednesday, you get A&M on Saturday, and the SEC tournament will start on either Wednesday or Thursday, depending on where this team is seated up and ends their regular season. Is the nail pretty much in the coffin as far as NCAA tournament hopes go? Is there any hope that you can have as an Arkansas basketball fan that this team will go to a relevant postseason tournament and not the nobody's invested tournament?
I think if they win these last, what, two games? Is that what it is? They're mm-hmm. two yep. games?
LSU and A&M.
Those are major plus games. I mean, those teams that are a little bit higher in the standings, I think it would serve you well and you'd have a chance. But, yeah, I think it's almost slim to none. They've got to do something in these last two games that really prove their worth. And then they've got to get some value done in the SEC tournament. You know, I would say get to the finals. And if they would win three, that'd be five games in a row. And you look at their overall record, be pretty good. Then maybe. But that, yeah, it's, but I don't look that they're capable of that. I mean, I don't see this team being consistent yet that they can, there's just too many pieces missing. You know, they're not consistent, inside. You know, you know Chaney and Henderson. Just you never know what you're going to get from those two guys. I mean, they're so different from one game to the next. And you know, you felt good about Henderson, but I think that would the the deal with Henderson against Tennessee, that was all about the matchup with Fulkerson. I mean, I think that was a good matchup for him. He was so much more athletic, and his length bothered Fulkerson, but he didn't have any of those type of advantages against the bigs for Georgia. Just bad matchup there.
Yeah, I mean, I think this team is just as capable, probably more capable, if you're being honest, of losing the next three and waiting on a committee to choose them for a tournament than they are of winning the next three. So, I mean, that's just
the same way, Tommy.
That's just where you're at right now. They're probably more likely, if you had to pick one or the other to bet $1,000 on, you'd probably bet they're more likely to lose the next three than win the next three.
Vegas odds would be better for your scenario than the other one.
I think so. I mean, and we don't like that, but I just think that's where they're at with the lack of depth, with where their legs are at this point in the year. If you told me that they're going to lose to LSU and A&M, I'm not going to be shocked by that. You know, nobody's wanting that, but it's not going to shock me either.
Yeah, they just after playing so great to start the Tennessee game, they were just awful to start the Georgia game, and that was the difference in the game. They came back and made it close again, but they just had used up so much energy. You know, you just can't go on the road and dig yourself that kind of a hole. It's just not not the right way to play SEC basketball to me.
No, I agree,
and I guess they do that so many times. I mean, they just don't start very well a lot of the time.
Clay, why do you think that is? Is that just a depth? Is that a depth issue? Is that something that Musson doing out of the gate? Is it something that you put on the players? Why have they been so inconsistent when it comes to starting out of the gate in these basketball games?
Well, I just look and see that they're going to have two or three matchups to start the game and that are deficit matchups, and they lose those matchups and they get in foul trouble. It's the other team takes advantage of their lack of post play almost every time. And then they'll up the intensity a little bit with those guys. You know, there'll be some subbing and he's tried it to be different. I mean, there's been times where, you know, Chaney's been the guy to start and he lays an egg, and then it was Ethan Henderson. And so, yeah, it's just they're just short. And I don't mean that shorthanded. I mean short. You know, they're just lack of size, and it's hard to overcome sometimes.
Yeah. And that we knew all along this was going to be a problem. The problem is they played so well in November, December, and early January against the teams that are at the middle and the bottom of the SEC. Our expectations got recalibrated, and now we're finding out, you know, pretty much the preseason expectations were spot on at this point. And what we thought they were, they turned out to be.
There's been two killer games, in my opinion. Well, you might could say three, but two of the three have been with Isaiah Joe out. You needed to win at Missouri, at Tennessee, at Georgia. You need to win two of those three games, and then you could be where you wanted to be and probably be in the NCAA tournament. But you lose those games, and it's like you say, that they took care of business against those type teams, you know, Ole Miss and Alabama earlier this year. But then they went, in the last month, they went on the road and lost all three of those. You know, the only one that was really a blowout, I guess, is the Tennessee game. You know, they'd kind of fought their way back, with 4 or 5 minutes to go against Georgia, and they were right there. And they had the lead late in regulation against Missouri, didn't close it out. You know, so those three games will be what you look back at after this season's over. It's like they didn't get it done right there.
Hey, Joe's Grill and Cantina will be ready for the next game. You can enjoy half-price apps and taps during every game, the rest of basketball and all of baseball season, TVs all around the restaurant, and half-price appetizers like brisket nachos, Mexican pizza, the big sampler platter, and all the beers on tap are half-price as well. During every hall game, half-price apps and taps at Joe's Grill and Cantina, 3400 South 74th Street, across from Harps.
877-377-6963 is the number to call. or text in. We're talking Arkansas basketball with Clay Henry, the publisher of Hogs Illustrated here on the Morning Rush. Clay, when you look at this basketball team, is because of how the season's ended up, and again, there's games left to be played, but I think the nail is pretty much in the coffin. Are fans pretty much just waiting on next year at this point?
Well, I think that what we have is that there's some enjoyment back in watching Arkansas basketball. I think that there'll be interest in the LSU game. That looks like a good matchup. There's a bit of a rivalry there. Those games have been terrific. You know, you kind of have the stink on LSU that they, you know, they're where they are right now because Will Wade cheated, right? And so there's some thought about it. No, I think there will be somebody doing it. I think that they're just systematically going through and taking care of these, you know, these situations that have come up in this FBI sting. And I think that you're going to get to these other teams. It's just slow process, Tommy. And, you know, South Carolina got their letter right 2 weeks ago. I mean, I think that you'll see some of these other schools. I think Auburn is not past the critical area yet. I don't think LSU is either. It's going to be interesting to see what happens in the next 6 months. This may all take, you know, 18 months to 2 years to play out, unfortunately. You know, all the guys that will be gone, including maybe even the coaches, might have different jobs. You know, it's like, I don't know if Bruce Pearl's leaving Auburn. Maybe, you know, somebody in the NBA wants him or something. I don't know. But Bruce seems to be in the right place right now, to be honest. But yeah, I think that everybody is back to like, okay, I want to go to a Bud Walton because basketball is enjoyable and this team plays hard and they're going to give me some entertainment value by just how hard they play.
Yeah. And I think moving forward with this basketball team, I think it's only going to get better, right? I mean, this is probably going to be the worst season that they'll have under Eric Musselman, but you're excited obviously about the future, but is disappointment, like, can you use that word with this basketball team, Clay? And we're going to talk about that more coming up in the program, but based on how the season started, is the ending, how it's turning out, is it a disappointment to where you initially thought you were going to be?
You know, I tempered everything by saying that there were key pieces missing. I mean, I said this from when he was hired. I did not think they could make the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. And so I've kind of always held that it was going to be tough. They were playing earlier in the year like they could go to the NCAA tournament, which surprised me. But I always had this kind of asterisk by this team. If they get an injury to either one of their key guys, and that in my estimation, their key guys were Mason Jones, Isaiah Joe, or Jimmy Witt. And they did get key injuries to all three. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was the shoulder injury. Mason battled early. Jimmy had a back issue that, you know, we kind of knew about. We kind of didn't. They kept that under wraps a little bit. But finally, you know, Musselman did talk about it a little bit. And of course, everybody knows Isaiah Joe missed basically 3 weeks with knee surgery. So that's what you say, you know, kind of torched this team, and they were vulnerable to injuries because they were so thin.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where we've touched on that many times this season, the fact that they were one injury away from something happening. And we don't know. Clay, has there been a status update from Mason Jones at all? Do we know anything about kind of?
Yeah, it was a cramp.
Yeah, that's all it was.
I know somebody saw him at Walmart yesterday, and he said, hey, it's a cramp. I'm good to go. So yeah.
I was listening to Z.
To the gym now.
Yeah, Z was on the radio. And he said you could see the calf muscle just kind of balled up.
That's what it initially looked like, but it scared me because he was like holding his elbow too.
And he didn't come back.
Yeah.
Well, I think he did. He did bump his elbow, but it was the cramp thing that really made him go down. Yeah.
Hot Take Monday.
He said he's fine.
Okay.
Cool. Hot Take Monday brought to you by Crabtree RV in Alma, exit 13 off of I-40. A lot of great trade-ins they got. In fact, a big selection with hundreds of travel trailers and fifth wheels and motorhomes right now for you to look at. Stop in and see Lee J and the gang. It's their 70th anniversary at Crabtree RV in Alma, where your family's dreams come true.
How about Anthony Edwards, Clay? I mean, he put on a display for scouts on Saturday night. What he was able to do against Arkansas. Again, Jimmy Witt, is a elite defender in the SEC, an elite defender when he's healthy in college basketball. He worked him. He worked Mason Jones. He worked Isaiah Joe. He worked the entire Arkansas Razorbacks defense in Athens on Saturday night.
Yeah, so that's another deal that when you look at it, it's like that wasn't the right matchup for Arkansas. He's a forward, and you played guards, and he's like a tight end. And
he's
the
thick.
Physical nature, mm-hmm. Yeah. There was a situation that kind of was the final nail to the coffin where he brought the ball up against the press, and he's in full motion, and I think it was Jalen Harris. I could be wrong. Was trying to run with him, and every time he got close, Edwards would just take his offhand and it wasn't a push. He just had it out there and just created just a little bit of space. And, it's like, what a man. And that's what a first round NBA guy looks like. And, can he do that in NBA? I think he can. I mean, I think that he's going to take his game and he's going to fit right in at the next level. And it was the perfect matchup to really just hammer Arkansas's forwards. And when they did the best thing you can do is deny him the ball with the guard.
Mm-hmm.
But if he gets the ball against the guard, well, then you're at a disadvantage. But Arkansas's forwards could not, they weren't fast enough, athletic enough, or good enough basketball players to deny him the ball.
So, Clay, is the biggest storyline moving forward, we only got about a minute left, is the biggest storyline now the draft decisions of both Mason Jones and Isaiah Joe? Is that what Arkansas basketball fans are most keyed in on from here on out?
I think so. I mean, and it's I think everybody says, well, they're not ready. Well, it doesn't really matter what everybody thinks. It only matters what those two guys think. And mm-hmm. you can be really surprised by what they think and what they decide to do, and you just don't know what kind of feedback they're getting. And when I say what kind of feedback they're getting, and I'm not talking about NBA scouts, I'm talking about family. And it seems like both of these guys come from really solid families, but hey, when you're talking about players going down with injuries, late in the season, and it's like, do we want to come back and risk an injury? It's just a delicate decision, and everybody thinks they know what they're going to do. I do not.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade, a light and flavorful beer for those easy drinking occasions.
The crowd's into it. They just threw him out of the game. They just threw him out of the game. He's gotten his second technical, and he's been thrown out of the ball game.
We had Tom Murphy on last week, weekly, like we always do, and he pointed out certain games that you wish you had in your back pocket of dubs right now. Arkansas has lost a lot of excruciatingly painful close games this season, and now as we get to the tail end of 2020 with this basketball club, is the season considered a disappointment? Clay doesn't think so. We just got his take the previous segment. He still thinks, based on what he said, he's seen enough from Eric Musselman to know that this team is going to have basketball success here at Arkansas. So now I want your opinion, Tom, and I want our listeners' opinion. When you look back on the 2019-2020 basketball season, is it a disappointment?
It's a disappointment because from this standpoint, I don't think you reached your full potential because you hadn't had the injury to Isaiah Joe and had a few other little things happening. You developed the best guy you could at four, and Bailey's been that guy. You'd probably be safely in the tournament right now. Do I think they played all the way to the maximum of everything that was possible? No. But I think they've met most of the preseason expectations, met most of what we thought they were going to do. But more importantly, I don't think there's many coaches that could have walked into this situation and got what they've gotten out of this team the way Eric Musselman has. So, is it disappointing? I bet Musselman's looking at it from the standpoint of what might have been. And that's always the way I look at disappointing versus acceptable situations. Sometimes when things are going great, you don't achieve all you could achieve, even though you went further than you expected.
Mm-hmm.
But in this situation, I'm always going to look back on this year and wonder, If you hadn't had that 5-game gap without Isaiah Joe, would you have won two, won three? What could have been? You know, but in the end, I think just making the tournament, maybe even winning a game or two in the tournament, the Sweet 16 be nice. This has proven to be, though, as we've seen all of the colors come into the picture and the whole thing start to come into focus, this has proven to be, this is not one of the best 16 or 20 teams in the country that really should be in the Sweet 16. Doesn't mean they couldn't make it. Doesn't mean they couldn't get the right draw and be a hard matchup for a team. But you think about this as a team with no five at all and struggling to play the four spot as well as a lot of other teams in this conference in the country without a five and without a high-quality four. This team, I think, is overachieved in some ways with Mason Jones and Isaiah Joe.
And you mentioned the five next year. I think that Eric Musselman's style play doesn't necessarily – you don't have to have a really good five, but because like Jalen Williams is more, he's going to be more of a power forward next year. He's a pick and pop guy and he has some down low game, but I don't necessarily put, he plays center at high school, but he's going to be more of a power forward at college. Connor Vanover, I know he's 7'3", but he's a shooter. You're not going to see a lot of post game out of him. So it's just, you have more depth there, more talent there. And with this team next year and what you've seen from so far this year, I think that you kind of like Clay said earlier, and Clay's back here with us, you're just excited about the future. Hayden and Benneville text in, guys, the Hogs, do they only way to the NCAA tournament is if they win the SEC tournament, is that the only way they make the dance? Hayden, I think that's correct. I don't see a scenario, even if they win the next five games, if they were to win two regular season games and three games in the SEC tournament, I still don't think that qualifies enough. And we will be actually, we haven't announced this yet, we will be live, the Morning Rush will be live down there at Nashville at the DoubleTree Downtown Nashville Hotel right next to Bridgestone Arena. So if you're planning on making the trip, stop by. We're going to be down there doing the show. But I think that's the only scenario, guys, that you see them making the tournament is if they win the SEC tournament.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think it's going to be a fun ride. I think there's potential for them to win the tournament. I don't think they have enough depth. That's an unlikely scenario. To play back to back to back to back and win those games. Mm-hmm. But funny things happen in postseason, in the SEC tournament. There's some times that some teams that show up that they think, well, we're in the tournament and we're not putting as much into this as we did the regular season. And it's crazy how it can happen. And then there's still one outside chance for them to make the NCAAs if everything holds form and there aren't any conference ups, you know, tournament upsets around the country, and there's a couple more at-large berths available than we think there are. And that could play into Arkansas's hands if they win and do everything but win the conference tournament.
Yeah. Just looking at the field, looking at the brackets, I really get the feeling this probably will be Kentucky-Auburn in the finals. I guess Florida could slip in there. LSU doesn't appear to be a team right now playing their best basketball at this point in the year. They've already kind of crested over that point.
They've been very good on defense, LSU.
So I think it's going to be two of the three teams, Kentucky, Auburn, Florida in the finals, and I really don't see a team like an Arkansas or a South Carolina. And I may be totally wrong coming in here that Monday following the tournament, and it could be South Carolina versus
I'm on your camp too.
But I really think it's going to be the front runners in this tournament who really are playing for higher seeds in the bracket in a league that's not thought of as amongst the best conferences in the country. A team like Auburn still going down, not to play for necessarily a tournament spot, but for maybe a spot or two higher on the bracket. You're not mm-hmm. going to jump three or four spots in a conference tournament, but maybe you win that championship, you go from a 6 seed to a 4 seed or something of that nature.
Yeah. You know, Arkansas really, if they want to play in postseason, they need to win some games. And I'm talking about the NIT. They need to win at Texas A&M if they're hopeful of getting in the NIT. And I think this team would benefit from an NIT game. And that might be all that you get. Probably going to, you know, go on the road for that. But it's, Texas A&M, to me, has loomed as the game that was going to be toughest for them to win out of these last you know, these last few road games. Texas A&M's playing pretty good. I'm not saying they played great this past week, but Buzz has gotten a lot out of that team.
Yeah.
And they've improved since Arkansas saw them at the first of the year.
I just have a hard time believing they'll win these last two, much less three or four in the tournament.
No, you're right. Yeah, you're right.
I just don't even know that they can beat LSU and A&M both. So, this week.
Yeah, LSU doesn't play nearly as well on the road as they do at home. And Arkansas gave them all they wanted it, and probably should have won that game at Baton Rouge.
Let me tell you, I think it's a big advantage for Arkansas at this point in the year that that game's on Wednesday and not Tuesday. And, you know, with some of your games being Tuesdays, some being Wednesdays, I think this team could, Clay, use the extra day of rest just to get their legs back under them, having to come back off the road. I think it's very beneficial just to have that one extra day this week.
Yeah, they play so hard. The quick turnaround is bad for them. The Tuesday night games, to me, after a travel game, is a tough situation.
Yeah, I agree. New Holland Dealer Days are back. Williams Tractor is opening their doors to help you tackle the season ahead with special offers right now on New Holland hay tools, tractors, and material handling equipment that includes 0% financing and cashback offers. New Holland Dealer Days is the time. Stop in right now in Fayetteville and Berryville at Williams Tractor or Bobcat of Northwest Arkansas and Rogers and learn more about all of the preseason savings going on right now.
Couple rankings to update you on. Jenkins just handed me this. Arkansas has dropped to number 13 on D1 Baseball's top 25 rankings. As far as the basketball goes, Clay mentioned it earlier because Will Wade cheated to get a player. LSU has now moved ahead of Arkansas in the team rankings on both 24/7 and on ESPN. So LSU is number 6. You, the Arkansas Razorbacks, the basketball team for the 2020 recruiting cycle, are now at top 7. But, I mean, these guys you got, and it doesn't matter if you drop a few pegs. That's not that big of a deal. It's really, and I know that selfishly, you as an Arkansas fan, you want a top 5 class, you want a top 3 class, but it's the quality of players that you're getting in this upcoming year. And I mean, I live here in Fort Smith, and I've yet to go see a Jalen Williams game over at Northside. I just haven't. Friday nights, I just hadn't made it over a Tuesday night. And these guys, whether you're in the central Arkansas area and you want to go see Devontae Davis play in Jacksonville, the River Valley, Fort Smith, Northwest Arkansas, well, come see Jalen Williams. I know you can't really see Moses and KK because they're way out east, playing in both Florida and Virginia. Those are guys that you kind of want to take advantage of to see in high school before they get to the collegiate days.
Last chance.
I got a question.
Last chance this week, state tournament.
So the class rankings, do they include the transfers that are sitting out?
No, they do not. They had those guys, I think, as last year listed. So
how many teams do you think have 3 transfers of that quality sitting out?
See, you mentioned this earlier, Clay. Are you under the impression that J.D. Notte, Baby Ola, and Connor Vanover are going to have that much of an impact on? I'm curious about that.
Why would you bring them in if they weren't? I mean, I think
you miss on guys all the time. I mean, I don't know.
You think they missed on those guys?
I don't know, but I think based on what you said earlier, you seem to think that these guys come in like next year are going to have a pretty major impact on the team.
Well, I know it was a loss when they didn't have Vanover.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a huge loss. Mm-hmm. I mean, the length. So you figure you got Vanover, you win every tip on the year, right?
Yeah, you don't. Yeah, the talk to open the game. Yeah,
you don't lose
one of those. No.
Yeah.
He didn't even have to jump.
Yeah, and you get the rebound against Mississippi State and don't lose the tip in there.
Yeah.
How many more block shots do you have with him this year?
Probably 40.
I know from watching him in high school and watching him limited times I did at Cal, like this is going to be an issue for him, his strength and his lateral movement. And Muss is a non-zone guy. And I'm curious to see if that changes next year with him in the lineup. Like, because unless he's just turned the corner on every one of the defensive aspects in the offseason, he is a liability as far as lateral quickness on defense.
You can't coach 7'3".
Okay. You can be tall and still be unathletic and can't move.
Well, he's definitely gained weight since high school.
Yeah.
And that's 3 years ago. And I think down the stretch, in you know, when he was, you know, say his last 15 games at Cal, I mean, I think he averaged close to 20 in those games. Now, not for the season he didn't because he had a slow start, but I think he's going to be a guy that gives them a boost. And you're right, they may have to do some things differently with him on defense. He's not going to play chase guys that far away from the court. But I think it's also going to be tough to get three-pointers over him. I think that's one of the things that they will benefit with him on the floor.
And I think – go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, but he's – what he is, and this is he's not Dwight Stewart because Dwight was a wide body. But Dwight could play the four or the five and shoot threes. And that is so valuable because it opens up the rim. If his guy has to – now, you can talk about defensive liabilities, and, yeah, I get that. But he brings so much more in their sets because of what he does to open the middle. And you ask Mason Joe Jones and Isaiah Joe what it's like to have a post guy waiting on him. That won't happen. That will not happen when they get to the lane, because if Connor Vanover if his man leaves him, you kick to him every time, and it's a three.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just don't. It is such a weapon when your post can shoot a three.
I don't want people to put words in my mouth thinking that these guys aren't going to have an impact this year. I'm just seeing people, majority Arkansas fans, that are talking about how Note is just going to be an incredible basketball player because of what he did at Jacksonville, how Vanover is going to be like all SEC and he's going to average like 15 a game. I'm just wondering, like, with him and with them too, and then Baby, if Baby Ola plays, and then you have these four guys coming in, I mean, the minutes continuity, like, you got to think about that as well. If Mason and Isaiah both do come back, and I know we're looking out ahead of this because we still got another year until this happens, we got to see the decisions on that. I mean, there's going to be some minutes that are hard to come by next year. And that's a competition is good sometimes, yeah. But Musa's philosophy that we've heard him talk about is, I mean, unless guys transfer out, he's going to go against it next year. Right?
Unless they can all play. Right.
But he's not,
they can all play.
He's not only going to send the change to a 10-man rotation, is he?
No, I mean, he's always.
He's never had one.
Yeah.
He's told me, he said, I've never had one that good.
So do you think he would change it? That's what I'm asking.
And go with more than nine players?
Okay. Tommy, if you've got three really good talk show hosts, mm-hmm. instead of having two shows, what do? You have three shows.
Yeah.
You find time. If you've got a Ty Richardson and a Phil Elson, you find time. I keep waiting for you to find another show for me. I'm ready. Mm-hmm. I'm just
a full show.
Yeah.
Yeah, show.
Well, we got you one. Yeah.
No, I'm just teasing. I can't. I'm just the guy talking. I can't do a show. I was just joking. No, but my point is that if those guys can play, Eric Musselman will figure that out.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's a good problem to have. Too many guys and not enough minutes, right? Because right now you don't have enough guys to fill the minutes you have.
I'm just because what he's talked about. I can't remember if it was Bob that asked him the question, but what he mentioned. He was like, as an assistant coach at LSU, he didn't like the fact that he had a number of eligible. Is it 13 that you can have eligible? Yeah, 13
scholarships.
Okay. He didn't like how if they had 13 guys that he had AU coaches or parents or the players were disappointed because they weren't getting their minutes. And that's why he wanted three or four guys that weren't eligible that were on the transfer. So he didn't have that problem. So
yeah, he liked to have nine guys in a playing rotation.
You keep going to nine. I don't think – I thought it was seven or eight. I think that's what he said.
Nine. I remember it. But
okay. So
– I could be wrong, but I believe that's exactly how you wanted to say it.
On that note, if that's correct and if the roster's in its current state next year, you're going to have 13 scholarship players. And that's pending on if guys don't transfer out or anything. So what he's talked about to this point is no longer going to exist. That's the problem.
So what I've seen him coach this year, it is – that he will play more than seven guys.
Yeah.
And he has played a lot more than seven guys. But when you get your chance, if you fail or if you stink it up or you foul, then you're going to come back and sit down. But if you play well, like Ethan Henderson did against Tennessee, you'll stay on the floor.
Yeah. Who does that sound a lot like?
Eddie Sutton.
Or Dave Van Horn down the street.
Yeah, same thing. I was thinking basketball-wise. Yeah.
So, on that, it's you guys both seem to be under the impression that there's going to be like, if these guys can play, if they can translate from both high school to college, you got the guys saying you thinking it's probably going to be more of a 9-10 man rotation next year.
Yeah.
And you think that
certainly eight.
Yeah.
You think that's going to work? I know it's way out there, but do you think?
Well, I mean, how much
it's worked? It's worked from the beginning of time.
I mean, you just can't just, do it with seven. Yeah. You know, this team's proven. You know, A, you need another player or two, but B, just seven guys, it just makes it difficult over the course of a season when you get into February, particularly, not to have that extra player or two to take, even if it's 8 or 10 minutes. It just becomes critical at this point in the year.
Well, Mike was running more 10, 11-man rotations. Eric Musselman in his time in Nevada and wasn't as much. He was more 7 to 8 over the course of his time.
You just can't have the drop-off when you get to 9, 10, 11. That's the key to it, is how far down your bench can you go without a noticeable, considerable drop-off in the quality of play?
Well, is that gonna be okay with the egos in that locker room next year?
But that's why when he talked about this 9-man rotation, that was the reason he created that. It was try to set expectations with the guys that aren't going to play a lot and the guys that need to redshirt, the guys that are on transfer years, so that you're not practicing your butt off and playing a ton of minutes or practicing a bunch of minutes and not getting any playing time.
But that's what I'm saying, guys. In the roster in its current state, you will not have that next year because you will have 13 eligible players in its current state. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm...
Right.
I'm not sure you're going to have that, Ty. Yeah. That's what you see right now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Who's going to transfer out? Who's going to move on maybe to professional basketball?
I think you might still see two transfers that are ineligible next year.
Okay. So you think
you still see that?
You think you have two guys transfer out, he brings two guys in, and then...
I don't think that. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen, but I think you could still have that.
Okay. So that's what I'm playing to. I think...
Do you think Mason Jones and Isaiah Joe are both going to be back next year?
Clay just said he thought they were leaning towards that.
Oh. I'm asking you.
I would think, Isaiah's gotten like first round draft grades, and then he wasn't even in the top 50 of Jonathan Wasserman's, who's, I don't know if he's ESPN or anymore, but I keep seeing like up and downs. Like I see him like really high in some and then really either not on or not good in the others, like a second round draft pick. So, I mean, it's like Clay said earlier, it's up to the family. What his family thinks is correct. I know his father works here locally in Fort Smith at ArcBest. I know that based on what Clay said, getting to know their families, that they have good families behind them. And I also got to think about the kids want too. What does Mason want? Does Mason want to come back and, like his brother Matt, try and win a national championship?
You want to be a student? You know, do you want to continue to do all the stuff outside of basketball you got to do to
on top of that,
be a part of it?
Yeah,
that's all questions you got to ask.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Bud Light Seltzer, 5% ABV and only 100 calories. We'd put it up against any other seltzer out there.